A distinctive belief of Baptists and of fundamental Christians throughout the centuries has been the belief in the eternal security of the believer. By that, we basically mean that once a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, that their soul is secure, that they can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that they will go to heaven. Once saved, always saved. It's the doctrine of the eternal security of the believer. It is the belief, according to Ephesians chapter 1, that when a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, that soul of that man or woman is sealed at that moment by the Holy Spirit of God, and that we are sealed until the day of redemption, and that that seal cannot be broken by anything here on this earth. Once we are in the hand of the Heavenly Father, no one can pluck us out of the hand of the Heavenly Father. Paul wrote about it in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, and he expressed it as the Holy Spirit gave him the words to simply write this: "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." The Apostle Paul says, hey, I haven't trusted in the Baptist church or the Catholic church, or I haven't trusted in some man to take me to heaven. He says, I know whom I have believed. I've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. Friend, mark it down in your mind. You are not able to keep yourself saved, but Jesus Christ is able to keep that which you've committed unto him. And so we thank God for the knowledge of eternal security. That is a wonderful gift from God today, to be able to say, I'm saved, I know that I'm saved, I know that one day I'll be in heaven. That's a great gift from the Lord that we can base upon the Word of God. In fact, here in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, John wrote about it again when he said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. In fact, right here in the book of 1 John, the word know is mentioned 39 times. That's why we're talking these few weeks about confident Christian living. God says you can know some things. You can be assured of some things. You can rest in your relationship with God. You can know that you're on your way to heaven. And I'm glad today that my salvation is not based upon my feelings or my emotions or what I do today or what I do tomorrow, but my salvation is based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. And because of that work, God the Father has declared me forgiven based upon the merit of Jesus Christ. And that is why we have the hope of eternal life in heaven. Thank God that our hope rests in the Lord Jesus. Now, after I'm saved, the truth of the matter is that it is God's will that I would obey His commandments. Now, please understand me. We are not saved by obeying those commandments, but once we are saved, then it is God's will that we would obey His Word and let the Word of God be a light unto our path. And today I want to show you three results of obedient Christian living. When you and I, who know that we're saved, obey the Word of God, there will be some attributes in our lives that are very evident to all around us and that will assure us ourselves. And these attributes come into the life of someone who is truly saved, truly has a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I obey the commandments of the Lord, first of all, I am going to have an assured heart. There is going to be an assurance in my heart. In other words, I'll not be wondering day by day where I stand with God, but I'll be growing day by day in the assurance that I'm walking in His will, that He is mine and I am His. Notice that in verse number 3. Here John says, and hereby we know that we know Him. Someone says, how can I really know? How does someone know when things are right with God in their life? Notice it says, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, the first thing that we're assured of is we're assured of our salvation. We know that we know Him. And by the way, folks, there's no joy in the Christian life if you're not sure you're saved. I mean, there's no joy in the Christian life without assurance. Again, keeping the commandments doesn't save me, but it assures me experientially that the Lord is in my life and that I'm living out His life day by day. You see, disobedient Christians oftentimes will doubt. They will lack assurance. They will wonder if they're really saved or if they're right with God. And sin will bring doubt into the life even of a believer. Other times, people who are living a life of sin, it's because they were never saved in the first place. That's what verse 4 is talking about. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And by the way, you say, boy, that's strong language. I don't write it. I just recite it, folks. That's God that says that. God says if we say we know the Lord, but we live our lifetime in a habitual pattern of inconsistency with the Word of God, the Bible says, hey, we said something, but really we were telling a lie. We weren't really living the Christian life. In fact, in verse 4, it says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments. The word there, keepeth, means guardeth them carefully in his heart. In other words, if someone has no regard for the Word of God in their heart, and they never really care about living for God, it's an indication that maybe they were never saved to begin with. And the more we obey from the heart, the more we're assured in the heart of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So as I obey the Lord, I'm assured in my heart. I have the assurance of my relationship with Him. I also have the assurance that I'm maturing in that relationship. The Bible says in verse number 5, but whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. Here the Bible once again says, if we will keep His word. And in fact it says, keepeth His word. That's in the present tense. That means a continuous walk with the Lord of obedience. And for someone that is continually walking in the Lord, the Bible says that the love of God is perfected in his life. That means a maturity is developing. And he's becoming more and more perfect or mature, if you will, in the Lord and in his walk with the Lord because of obedience day by day by day. Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And friends, the more we obey the Word of God, the more we mature in the Word of God. That's why I've seen sometimes a man that's been saved 2 years. He reads the Bible and prays every day. He never misses a service. He's faithful in the things of the Lord, and he's obeying every impulse of God. Every time he senses the Lord putting something on his heart, he's obedient. That man matures so quickly. Whereas another man who was saved 20 years ago, but has been intermittent in his walk with God, obeying sometimes, disobeying often, not really faithful in the Word of God. He is not as mature as the one who's been saved 2 years, but faithful day by day in the Word of God. The Bible says in verse 5, if we will keep the Word of the Lord, then the love of God is perfected in our hearts, and hereby know we that we are in Him. Once again, we are maturing in our knowledge, in our relationship with the Lord. And so obedience brings maturity into the life of the Christian. We sing the song so often, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Now you'll know that you're maturing in the Lord when you're obeying His commandments from a heart of love. That's a sign of maturity. That's a sign that you are growing in the Christian life. If I tell my son, Larry, take out the garbage, and I have to follow him out to the garbage can, I have to make sure every piece gets in, I have to follow him back into the house, make sure the garbage can's set there in the kitchen. He did what he was supposed to do, and he did it because he sort of had to do it. But now when Larry comes to the place in his life where without being told, he sees the garbage can is full, he takes the garbage can, he takes it outside, he dumps it, he brings the can back in, never being told to do it. Now he's obeying out of a heart of love, he's obeying out of a heart of maturity, he sees something that needs to be done, and he takes care of it. And that's the assurance that maturity is taking place in his life. And when you find yourself reading God's word and witnessing and coming to the house of God because you love the Lord, you're finding that you're beginning to mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we obey, then we're assured of our salvation and we're assured of the fact that we are maturing in the Christian life. So the first attribute of an obedient Christian life is the assurance in his heart of a relationship with God. And what a great confidence that is to know the Lord. Hereby we know that we know Him. Now notice secondly, the second attribute is an abiding walk. Not only an assurance in my heart, but an abiding walk with the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. So if someone says, I'm abiding in the Lord and he's abiding in me, God's word says you ought to, it should be that you can see it in his walk. What a tragedy today, where so many are professing Jesus Christ and they go to a big rally or seminar once or twice a year, but the rest of the time their life is showing no change, and the rest of the time they're not walking in the steps of Jesus Christ. The Bible says if we abide in Him, we're going to walk in His steps. The word abide here is found in John 15 in verse number 4. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Jesus Christ is the source of our strength. He is the sustenance of our soul. Jesus Christ gives us the strength to bear that spiritual fruit that you and I cannot bear of ourselves. And so we will be more fruitful as we walk in Him. The word walk is also an interesting word. It indicates a daily, constant following of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter wrote about it in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. He said, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving for us an example that we should walk in His steps. 1 year here at the church, our theme was in His steps, because Jesus Christ has left us an example and we're to walk in His steps. Lord, should I turn this way or this way? Where should I go? And if we'll look in the Word of God, He'll guide us and our steps will be guided. Paul said in Ephesians 5:1 to the church at Ephesus, be ye followers of God as dear children. You ever notice how sometimes a little child follows a parent? They'll put on daddy's shoes, you know, and they'll follow you around. They'll bump into the back of your leg. They're just following you. The word there in the Greek is mimetai, which means an imitator. And sometimes our children will imitate us. Sometimes that's scary too. But the Bible says we're to follow the Lord. And there's no man nor woman that we ought to follow as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to imitate the Lord and follow His example for us. I read of an evangelist that was having a meeting years ago, and boy, it was one of those shouting meetings. You know, folks were saying amen and glory to God, and shake that bush or whatever they said, you know, and getting excited about the preaching. And the evangelist got to thinking, he said, you know, I wonder if the shout matches the life, or if the life matches the shout. He said, I don't mind an amen or praise the Lord, but I just wonder if they're living that joyously throughout the week. So the evangelist formed a committee. It was the shout committee. Their job was to follow the shouters around all week and make sure that their life was a godly, consistent life. And if they lived a godly, consistent life, and if they walked in the steps of Jesus Christ, then they were allowed to shout the next week. Amen. I like that. You see, when we're obeying the Lord, we'll abide in a walk. Not just Sunday morning, not just an amen now and then, not just a Bible reading now and again or tithing when we can, but we'll abide constantly, day in, day out, day in, day out. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked, and that's Jesus Christ. So when I obey the Lord, first of all, there's an assurance that comes into my heart about where I am with God. Secondly, there's an abiding daily walk that is coming forth from an obedient heart. The third attribute of someone who is obeying God is that he will have a loving life. His life will be characterized by love day by day coming forth. Notice, if you would, in verse number 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him, that's Jesus, and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. Jesus Christ, Luke 1:78, is the day star. He's the bright and morning star. He's now shining. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. But how does that affect us with respect to a loving life? Well, let's notice the term here, the commandment, the old commandment, the new commandment. We are not reading here about the Ten Commandments. That's not what it's speaking about. Jesus has fulfilled the law already. The commandment that is spoken of here is the commandment to love one another. Now, we're not to disregard the Ten Commandments. In fact, if we would just live by them in this country, we'd be all right today. But there is a supreme commandment Jesus is giving here. And that commandment is that we would love one another. And that's why it's referred to as an old commandment, and it's referred to as a new commandment. And the sense of it as a new commandment is that we are to love now based upon the love of Jesus Christ, which has been evidenced at Calvary. Not under the law, because we have to, but out of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's referred to as a new commandment. So there is a sense in which this is an old commandment and also a new commandment. Notice in John chapter 13, you might notice this with me. John chapter 13 and verse 34. The Bible tells us about this great commandment, this love that comes forth from an obedient Christian's life. John chapter number 13 and verse number 34. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another." Now this is the new commandment spoken of. God is saying, if you're truly an obedient child of mine, your life will be a life of love, a life that is meeting needs, a life that is putting self aside and caring for others. Let's define this love. This type of love mentioned in the scriptures and here in 1 John, in verse number 10, in the Gospel of John, this love is agape love. It's that deep spiritual love. Of course, the Greek language had three words for the word love, and they were able to define the depth of love by using those words. In our day and age, we have basically the one word, and we use it somewhat broadly today. You know, we just love to eat at this restaurant. We just love to go to this place. I was talking with a guy not long ago and visiting him at his house. He said, "I just love this stew I'm making here. I just love it so much." And then we were talking about his pickup truck. He said, "I love that old pickup truck. I just love that pickup truck." And then after a while, he said, "And then there's my wife over there. I just love my wife over there." By the time we were done, I wasn't sure if he loved the beans more than his wife or the truck more than the beans, or because love is just kind of used in a broad way today. But this love is the deepest kind of spiritual love that we're to have for one another. It's the love that only Jesus can put in our heart. It is a burden-bearing kind of a love. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, Jesus gives to us through the Apostle Paul, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." You see, the law of Christ is fulfilled when we live out a life of love. Notice in John's Gospel once again, chapter 15, John 15 and verse 10. And in John 15, 10, we read these words as Jesus speaks. He says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love." You see, that's what we're saying today. When we obey the commandments of the Lord, certain attributes come into our life. Assurance comes into my life, and it's very important that I have that assurance, and then an abiding walk, and then a loving life will also be the attribute. That's what Jesus says. If you're going to keep my commandments, you'll live a life of love. Verse 10. "And ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Verse 11 of chapter 15. "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye may, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than that he lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Now that doesn't mean that our Lord's love is conditional for us, but what it means is simply this. Jesus says, "I'll know you're my friend as you're obeying me. You're going to show me that you love me by obeying my commandments." How many Christians today say that they love God, honk if you love Jesus on the bumper, and all of these different types of outward forms, and yet they're not obeying the commandments of God? I've often thought we ought to make a bumper sticker that says, "Tithe if you love Jesus." Because there are millions of people glad to honk, but not much more than that. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And so we understand that as we obey the commandments of the Lord, we will live a life of expressed love. So love is an agape love. It is a burden-bearing love. Now, oftentimes, as we think about the New Testament age and the new commandment, we need to keep into our minds that this is an obedience out of love, not because of the demand of the law. For example, there are laws in the state of California that we must take care of our children, must feed them and clothe them and care for them. And if a parent is negligent enough, and if a child is destitute and he's out on the streets and he's not fed properly, on some occasions, the state will come in and remove that child and take that child even a foster home. And that's a tragedy when that happens. But the fact of the matter is, there are laws that state we're responsible to care for those children. Now, I don't think too many of you parents take care of your children because of those laws. My wife and I, we've never had a time where we are laying in bed in the morning and where I say, well, guess we better get up and feed the kids. I guess I ought to buy them some clothes too. My wife's never said, yeah, we better do it. The police might come by this morning. Just got to take care of things before they come by. No, we've never one time thought about caring for our kids because of the law. We care for our kids because of the love that's in our hearts for them. And you see, it's like so many unsaved Baptists today. Well, we better go to church, you know, we sort of have to do it. Well, you know, I guess I better do something for the missionary. Better go to my class or they'll call me. I better do it. No, you'll know you're maturing in your walk with God when you love to be at the house of God, when you love to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, when you always want to be a part of doing something in regard to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's a burden-bearing love. It's the love of Christ that constrains us. That's the new commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this love is an agape love. It is a burden-bearing love, and it's a consistent love. Notice in verse number 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in the darkness even until now. You cannot say that you're saved and be filled with hate according to the word of God. Love and hate cannot mix. Light and darkness cannot mix. And the Bible says if you say that you're in the light but you hate someone today, you've got a major problem. Either you're not saved or you're walking in darkness according to the word of God. Now understand something very clearly. You and I should hate sin today. And I talk with some of these liberal folks sometime, and they say the most silly things. Sometimes they say, well, I just don't believe God hates anything. Well, they've not read their Bible. There are things, visitor friend today and faithful friend today, that God hates according to the Bible. You'll forgive me for using the Bible so much, but I checked the sign out front and it said Baptist Church. God says in the book of Proverbs, there are several things that he hates. Proverbs chapter 6, the Bible says that God hates a proud look. God hates a lying tongue. God hates hands that are swift to shed blood. And I believe that God hates today the entire abortion industry today. God hates those, God hates the sowing of discord amongst the brethren. God hates it when that happens. And the Bible tells us that he hates these various things because they are divisive. If you don't believe that the Lord hates sin, you just read where he cleansed the temple and you'll see his heart towards sin in the house of God. Our God is a holy God. I take, for example, the subject of homosexuality. I hate homosexuality. I detest the fact that the National Education Association and others are trying to get homosexual curriculum into our public schools. And I believe it's a wicked, sinful, wrong way of living. But I do not hate homosexuals today. And you and I need to guard our hearts that we would not hate some person, and especially someone that is saved. And I believe today that we need to be very careful about hating people, but we need to hate their sin. We need to hate their sin. Now, the Bible says in verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. You see, if a Christian has hatred in his life, three things are going to happen. First of all, he's living in darkness. He is not walking in the love of Jesus, in the light of Jesus Christ. He is living a life of darkness. Secondly, he is going to cause stumbling for people that are watching him. Verse 10 tells us about that. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Someone who's walking in the light, someone who's living a life of love, they are not going to cause someone else to stumble. You think about it. If someone claims Jesus as their Savior, but they're hateful and venomous and always disgusted about people and always tearing people down and never showing the love of Christ, they could cause someone to say, if that's being a Christian, I don't want any of it. And that's what verse 10 says. There is none occasion of stumbling in the person who's walking in the light. Folks, I don't know about you. I don't want to cause anybody to stumble. I want my life to encourage other people to want Jesus and to live for Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in verse number 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You see, I don't want to give my new Christian friend a reason to stumble by me having something in my life that would cause him to stumble. And you see, if we love people, we're going to live this way. But if there's hatred in our life, we're going to live in darkness, we're going to cause people to stumble, and we're going to hinder the progress of our own spiritual growth. Notice what the Bible says in verse 11. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I'm saying today, I've seen so many people in the 1990s that they're so filled with hate, and they hate people of different backgrounds than them and different socioeconomic situations than them, that they can't make a good decision sometimes because they're blinded by their hate. What a tragedy. And that ought never to be said of a Christian who's obeying the Word of God. He'll have a life of love. This hate, verse 11, hinders their spiritual growth. He knoweth not whither he goeth. He can't make the right decisions. But thank God, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, that the love of God was shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit of God. And listen to me, when the new nature took place and came into my life, when I was born again by the blood of Christ, all of a sudden I could love people that maybe before I didn't love. All of a sudden I could feel a burden that before I wouldn't have felt. All under the new commandment. The new life of Jesus Christ. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13, 5 says that we're not to think of evil. We're not to harbor evil. And friend, today, if you're here with a life of hatred, you're walking in darkness. I do not know whether you're saved or not, but the Bible says you are walking in darkness. Years ago, there was a family we were trying to help, and they had a teenage girl, and my, she was rebellious. Oh, she was just always in trouble at school and trouble at home, and you name the rule, she'd break the rule. You almost didn't want to make rules because it was just something for her to break. And the parents came in and they wanted to see the youth pastor and they wanted to talk to me. And we said we'd be glad to try to help in any way that we could. And they walked into the office, and at that time we had a picture of Ronald Reagan sitting on the desk. It's kind of a nice picture. Ronald Reagan there, the girl walked in. She saw that picture of him. She looked at it. She said, "I hate that man." Oh, she was hateful. And I found out later, she didn't just hate him. She hated her dad. She hated her uncle who molested her. In fact, she just about hated every man that she ever met. She was filled with hate. And her life was being ruined by hate. I'll be honest with you, if you're a Christian, there is no room, according to the Word of God, there should be no room in your heart for hatred, especially towards a brother, and then also towards anyone in this world. Hatred will take you down the wrong path. And one of the attributes of someone who is obeying God's word is that they are growing in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the overwhelming characteristic is a life of love. Jesus said, "They will know you are my disciples by your love." As I am obedient to the commandments of the Word of God, I am assured in my heart of my relationship with Him. And then I'm abiding with Him in my walk. And then I am living a life that is characterized by love and compassion. You're not abiding in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's hatred in your heart today. You're not able to love the way God would have you to love. There's one or two things that need to be taken care of. Number one, you may need today to come to Jesus Christ, receive the forgiveness of your sins, not from this church, but from Jesus Christ, and be born again for the very first time. That may be what you need to do today. If there's no assurance, if there's no abiding, if there's no love in your heart, it may be that you need to come to Jesus today and find the free gift of salvation. And then it could be that some of you who were saved the Bible way have been so disobedient in recent days that there's no assurance in your heart. Sometimes you're just not sure where you are with God. There's no abiding walk day by day. It's a weekend walk, but not an abiding walk. And then, of course, there's harboring of ill feelings where there should not be. And Christian friend, if that's your case today, you can come and pray with someone or pray by yourself or get this thing settled, so that you can go out from here and enjoy the confident Christian living that God wants you to enjoy.